it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
Thank you, Woody, and off to a fast start once again. Florida Panthers, and we're joined this morning. Always great having him. Paul Maurice, Florida Panthers head coach. Coach, thank you so much, man, for finding some time before you play this last game and hit the road. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I got to tell you, I've never had the celebration. We came up short a few times in the old days, but you have the ring ceremony the night before. Guys are dressed up, and I'm going, oh, boy, they got a game tomorrow. Then the guys do the nice banner being lifted and up in the arena, and I'm like, boy, I always wonder that first game. The focus and the energy. You guys came out like it was a playoff game. I was shocked. Of everything that's happened so far, the energy you guys played with in that game.
You know what? You would think so, right? All the things kind of stack up against you. But we had the exact same thing happen last year when we did it. Training camp's hard, right? Good. We had a really good summer. Our fitness levels were really good. Training camp's hard, but what's great about the ring ceremony and the banner raising, it's your first reminder. Like, we don't really talk about it much here, but when the cup and the training camp, we got a work to do. Everybody works hard, but the night before, they do a really nice job, and it is a great memory. And I think it fires them up. You worry about them coming out flat because they're distracted with those things. But it's a wonderful distraction. And I think it brings a lot of energy. The crowd loves it. So we get a good building, lots of buzz, and we played very well.
It's real simple, man. I've been saying, we watch. Hey, we sit here on the radio and we talk about all our teams and the chemistry and the culture, which I get a little burned out on all the culture talk that everybody wants to talk about. And front office and coaching and players and you guys obviously right now are the standard for all those things. But you know what? In the opener, I just said, man, they play hard. They believe in that system. And it looks right now just like it did. Some of the names are different like it did last year when you guys are playing well. Do you feel that way?
I feel we're further ahead than we were last year at this time in terms of that structure with players out. So it's going to look a little different in maybe the result. And we probably won't score quite as much. You got two, 80 to 100 point guys out of your lineup. And then Sasha Barkov, who's a Selke Award winner. But what I mean, look at by effect, it shouldn't look any different in how we're playing. We may not finish as much. There'll be some plays that don't get completed, but structurally, and from a work ethic point of view, there should be no difference in our team. And I think we're seeing that. The first two games were a little bit light in terms of physicality. That's what you get when you got a Western Conference team and then an out-of-division team. I think that ramps up tomorrow. We'll get a playoff team in real fast, real physical. So that'll look – the playoff-style game will have to be there for us tomorrow.
The first line, Verhaeghe, Bennett, and Marchand. Looks pretty good. Are you pretty happy with it so far? I know that more they play together, the better it'll get.
Yeah, they look like they almost do when Matthew Tkachuk's playing because Brad Marchand's got the same kind of hand skills. He can create an awful lot. Get a puck to the net, obviously, in the game winner yesterday. He's really gifted in that department. They had a head Carter Ray. He has +9 in the plus-minus chances for and against in game one, which is a huge number. So it's there for them. We'll just make sure they don't get frustrated. They had some really good looks in the first game that didn't go for them. So as long as they can kind of stay with that style and not try to open their game up to create more, we got a really good line there.
I got to ask you about a guy that's getting a lot of playing time here, former first-round pick in Samuskevich. Did you give him the green light to fire when necessary?
You know what I'm going to give a little credit to is Evan Rodriguez here. And he's, first of all, he loves playing with both those guys, Boqvist and Samuskevich. And He's such a great veteran leader on that line, and he empowers those guys. He wants that puck on his stick, and he wants it off his stick. So he's what's interesting, they're not the three biggest guys on our team. They play on speed and skill, but there's an intensity to their game and a quickness. They're a big part of what you would call, I guess, our second power play unit that scored both our power play goals. He's got a great pace to their game. Samuel can play that game. He can play that and quick into holes, get the puck on and off his stick. He's got a great shot. We believe it's just a matter of time before the puck start going in. Just a timing thing and an experience thing as he spends more time in the league. But we really like what that line can do. We haven't had them matched up against the line yet that we didn't like. So they've been really strong for us.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you what, just often running 2-0. And as you said, Ottawa tomorrow before hitting the road. I got to ask you this, Coach. I can't let this go. It's a hot topic before the season started. In that last preseason game, Tampa Bay obviously brought up some guys that have no shot of playing on a big squad. And they were some tough guys, and it just got out of friggin' control. And John Cooper, I don't know what your relationship is. Do you just let that go? Do you talk? I know people are saying, hey, there's no way the Panthers, you guys are about winning. But what was that all about? I'm just curious what your thoughts were.
Yeah. I can tell you about our team. I know that in all situations, and we've had versions of that before, and it's usually a team that we played in consecutive playoff years, right? There's a lot of physicality, and there's a lot of kind of anger that comes up for the losing team. But the question is, like, how do you get to use that? How do you get to play through that?
Right.
And we've just been through it before. It's just not that big a deal to our team. I mean, we had Boston come in first game after we had beaten them twice, and it was nasty and it was on. It was more physical. So it's part of, you get playoff success. All the great rivalries are built in playoffs. So we have one with Toronto, we've got one with Boston, we certainly have one with Tampa, and we have one with Carolina. Those are all the teams that we've played twice. They are going to be the most intense games. They're most favorite. These are both, you know, proud guys on both sides. Everybody hates losing. So we will see that with the teams that we've, and you see it maybe more in exhibition because there's not the same kind of cost.
Right.
You can cross the line a little easier and it doesn't affect you as much. So we learn how to handle those things. It really wasn't that big a deal in after the room after the game. There's kind of lots of laughing and joking about it, and we'll move on.
Oh, that's great. You know what? That's fantastic. Listen, you guys have dominated last 3 years, all the teams in the East. And I can see it, like, you guys, all right, we get what this is about, and we're not going to get caught up in this. We got a bigger goal, but we understand what they're all trying to do and setting up these games. The rivalry really has become, I know we talk about Boston and even Toronto a little bit. You mentioned Carolina, but for me, that Tampa Bay, because they've had some really good teams, Coach, and you've knocked them out early in the playoffs. Maybe if they're not playing you, maybe they're going deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, we think they are close to being the best team in the East right now if they're healthy and lots of skill. Those kind of games, those physical games, that maybe it's kind of how we play. So it's not like we're a light skilled team that's the other teams decide they're going to try to intimidate or run out of the building. It's just the intensity of former playoff series.
Yeah. You know, I get asked this because you got to make cuts, and you obviously had a lot of guys that played really well in the preseason, even when some of the other teams are playing veterans. Your guys haven't played look really good, which means we look a little deep. Do you like some of the players in the future that you had to give the bad news to, that had to start the season somewhere else?
We felt there were a couple of guys up front, maybe one or two on the blue line, that their camp said they could have stayed. And you know how it works, and I can't explain it because I don't fully understand it. Because of the Barkov injury and some of the cap situation that we would have, we actually had to send Samo down for a day to get to where we needed to get to and brought him back up. So we had to, some of it's based on the contracts the players have and how it all fits in. But we had some really good camps by some of those guys on the edge. And that's important because the longer you go in these playoff runs, the more you can expect that you're going to have injuries the next year, and you're really going to have to rely on that depth.
You just said something that's really interesting. I always wonder, because you work closely with the GM, who does have to understand the money, and another money guy, I'm sure, in there. You don't you stay out of that completely, number one. Yeah. And number two, are you aware of how the cap works? I'm not. No,
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I have an idea about it, and it's like anything else. Like, we got those guys are experts at it. That's all they do. So between Bill Zito and Braden Birch, who does a lot of our cap work here, that's what Braden does every day, all day. So he's the expert. So
right.
There's really not a yeah. There's not a point in me getting involved in that. I understand, and I'm in some ways as the coach here, you're certainly you get a great benefit because we spend right to the cap every year, and you understand that there might be some games where you got to play with short a guy, 19 guys to make it work. So I have no problem with that because the reason that the driver of it is Bill Zito and his staff is trying to put the best players on the ice every night.
Hey, before I let you run, I'm just curious. I got a zillion things to talk about, your 71 shots, the first two games and all that stuff, but I wanted to ask you just the crowd. Have you noticed the more winning you're doing, the more jacked up and packed the arena
is? It is
now.
Awesome. It is, you know what? And I understand it, but when we first got here, a game like last night would have felt half Philadelphia. You know, and like we would get Boston in here and some of these teams, and it would feel like you were playing a road game. And now it's just not the case. I mean, we got great fans. They're loud. They're into the game. I think they know their players. I think that's what
big. You
know, we've had some continuity here so that they can attach themselves to a guy, one of their favorite players. And they've seen Carter Verhaeghe play here for a while and Sam Reinhart, whoever it is. There's a connection now between our fans because we've had some, we've had some great success. So they've been a part of that. They've been to game six and game seven and saw the cup come out. And so they get to see all these guys. We haven't had a huge amount of turnover, but there's just not very many road jerseys in the stands anymore. Yeah. It's all Panthers.
What? Amazing. It's amazing what winning does. Right. Hey, before I let you go, I can't forget about Big Bob, man. He's not getting a whole lot of work, though, with the defense in front of him. But, boy, I'll tell you what, he is he had himself ready to go for this season.
Yeah. Well, he really did. He is absolutely the right guy to play behind that defense because it's harder than people think. They'll look at the shot total and say, not a lot of shots, not a lot of work. But because we play so aggressively, every once in a while something breaks loose and it's a high-end chance. There's not too many of it. And then he'll go 6 or 7 minutes without any action. And that is way harder than I think anybody understands. Sometimes the nights where the other team comes in and they put up 40 on you, that's an easy night for the tender because you're in a rhythm and you just stay in it. But he has long stretches of time in the first two, and going back to last year. So what he's done is he's developed the skill set to handle it, to be able to sit for 5 or 6 minutes, not have any action, and then boom, you get a 2-on-1 or a partial break. So that's why his veteranness is so important to our team. It's an unusual game that he has to mentally fight through.
Yeah, man. So many guys. Again, it's just amazing. Great start. Hey, Coach, thank you so much for finding some time. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Anytime for you.
All right. Appreciate it. Paul Maurice, Florida Panthers head coach. Play hard. Play the system. It's incredible. And they all buy in, man. Not only do they all buy in, now everybody in the league wants to be here. By the way, great point, Woody. Guys they know who the players are every year, man. The core guys. Never changes. Been able to keep all those guys, man. It's good for business.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.